April 23rd, 2021. We're in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Kafhet Amud Aleph, the very bottom line, three words before the end of the line. The Gemara begins by continuing on these problematic or questionable relationships in terms of testifying. So that's the Gemara, three words before the end of the line. Rav ikla lemizban. Rav visited somewhere. Usually the Gemara will say Rav ikla, and it'll tell you the name of the city, the name of the town he went to. Over here it just says he visited lemizban, to buy, to purchase, givile. So Rav is visiting some city, some marketplace with the intention of buying givile. Givile refers to parchments. He wanted to buy parchments, maybe for a Torah, maybe it's just for books or whatever it was. Keep in mind, they didn't use to write on regular paper. Ba'umine, as he enters into this place to buy those parchments, the people ask him the following question. Mahu shiya'id adam be'eshet horgo. Is it permissible, is it kosher for a person to testify about the wife of their stepson? So what's a stepson? Stepson means that you're married to a woman, and that woman comes in with a child from another marriage. That's her son, it's your stepson. That stepson in turn is married to someone else. That's eshet horgo, the wife of your stepson. What's the halakha in such a circumstance? Now the Mishnah told us to the horeg, to the son-in-law, excuse me, to the stepson, you're not allowed to testify, and he's not allowed to testify about you. What about his wife? Said Rav to these individuals who asked him, Besura Amre in Surah, which was one of the academies in Bavil, they say, Ba'al ki ishto. A husband, in testimony, in many other laws, has the status as if he's identical to his wife. As a result, if you envision it as yourself, you're married to this woman. This woman, in turn, had a son. It's her straight-up son. Her son's wife is her daughter-in-law, straight up. Now, if you are identical to your wife, it means that it's your daughter-in-law. As a result, Ba'al ki ishto means the same way that you couldn't testify or they can't testify about you, your real daughter-in-law, so to your stepdaughter-in-law as well. That's Ba'al ki ishto. Bepumbedita. Pumbedita is a different one of those major academies of Torah in Bavil. Amre, they said it a little differently, but it has the same halakha bottom line. Isha keba'ala. The wife is like the husband, a little bit more feministic in Pumbedita, right? The woman is like her husband, which just means that if we're to envision it in this case, the wife of the stepson is like the stepson himself. Well, the stepson is problematic to you. That's what the Mishnah told you, and you to him. As a result, his wife is identical to him. There's a problem. When it comes down to it, it's the same Pesach Halacha from different vantage points. We're coming from the vantage point of the wife or vantage point of the husband. Says the Gemara, De Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, who is it? Nachman? De Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Minayin Shehayisha Keba'ala. What verse, what pasuk in the Torah can we point to and say, you see, the status of a wife is just like that of her husband? Dichtiv, the pasuk says in the context of the Isurei Arayot. Isurei Arayot in this week's parasha, in parashat Haremot, the Torah says, Irvat ahi avicha lo tegale. You're not allowed to expose the nakedness, in other words, have relations with ahi avicha, the wife of your uncle. Okay, we would call that your aunt, of course, right? You're not allowed to come close, in other words, to have relations with the wife of your uncle, meaning your aunt. Then the conclusion of the pasuk is, she is your uncle. She's not your uncle, she's your aunt. She's not, a dod is an uncle. An eshet dod means the wife of your uncle. So the pasuk says, don't come close, in other words, have relations with the wife of your father's brother, because after all, she is your uncle, but she's not your uncle, she's your aunt. What's the dirasha from this? Miklal de isha kiba'ala. It appears then that in the context of relations in halakha, we equate the husband and wife. And as a result, since it's your aunt from your uncle, we say it's identical to your uncle. In turn, in our context as well, when Rav is posed with the question, what's the status of the wife of your stepson? The halakha is ishto kiba'ala. Ba'ala ki ishto, the halakha is that they're invalidated. Continues the Gemara. Uba'al imo, hu ubeno v'hatano. If If you call the Mishnah had a long list of individuals who are invalidated, we consider them kerubim. Baal imo means the husband of your mother, means it's not your father. Subsequent to your birth, let's say, it's the husband of your mother. Who, he, what do we call that? We call that a stepfather, right? Ubeno and his child. Now his child over here, is that a half-brother or is it a stepbrother?
Stepbrother.
Well, not clear. It could be one of two ways.
It's a stepfather.
It's your stepfather. Is the child from your mother or is the child came in with him? Says the Gemara, Beno, when we talk about the son of your father, your mother's husband, Hainu Achiv, that's your brother. Well, we'd imagine that's just like your brother. We imagine that it's not the step, but it's rather the half. What's that? That's the question. That's the difference between a half-brother and a step-brother. So the Gemara initially imagines that we're dealing with a half. No, when it says, Beno Hainu Achiv, it imagines it's a half-brother, meaning it's from your mother. And as a result, we already know that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah told you your brother is disqualified for you and he to you and you to him. So says the Gemara, Beno Hainu Achiv. The circumstance is different. It's your stepbrother's stepbrother. Wait a second. What does that mean? Well, it works as follows. It works as follows. Your mother, who's married to your father, has a child. Now, that child right now is your half-brother. Right? Your mother got married to your father. Excuse, got married to this man and has a child. That's your half-brother. You share one parent, the mother. Your stepfather over here came into this marriage with a child from another marriage. Now, to your half-brother, that other brother is a half-brother. Right? Is a half-brother.
Which,
so we call that in turn, Ahi Ha'ach. Again, it's the brother of your brother. Your brother, how so? Well, over here, it's your half-brother's half-brother. And as a result, your half-brother's half-brother, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, is problematic for you. That's what the Mishnah meant. One more time in terms of the circumstance. Your mother is married to another man, not your father, okay, after the marriage or whatever it is. She has a child with that man. Certainly invalidated in such a circumstance, half-brother. Additionally, that man brought in a son from a different marriage. Now, to your half-brother whom we just addressed, that other young man, old man, whatever, are half-brothers. So we're dealing with that fellow, your half-brother's half-brother. We call it Ahi Ha'ach. What's that?
It's really just a stepbrother.
It's like a stepbrother.
No, just remove the half-brother.
Right. And what's that? Why does it matter?
Indeed. Because if it was a stepbrother, it appears, say the Rishonim, it would be kosher to testify. It's only because there is some bloodline over here. In other words, it's your half-brother's half-brother that it's invalidated. If your mother didn't have another child with this man, that stepbrother would not be invalidated. Yes?
Stepbrother not invalidated?
That's right. That's the suggestion over here, that according to the Yirmiyah, the only issue is it's Ahi Ha'ach, there is some blood relation.
Because they had another son.
That's right, together. Correct, it needs to be a half-brother. Says the Gemara, Rav Hasda Achshir Be'Ahi Ha'ach. Contrary to the Yirmiyah's opinion, that the half-brother's half-brother is problematic, says the Gemara, Rav Hasta was Machshir. And you see the little Gimal next to it, we're Posek Halacha, Lekula, we're lenient, like Rav Hasta. Amrule, the rabbis turned to Rav Hasta and they said to him, La Shemi Halacha de Rabbi Yirmiyah. You didn't hear about Rabbi Yirmiyah's Pesach Halacha? Aren't you aware that Rabbi Yirmiyah said the half-brother and the half-brother is problematic? Responds Rav Hasta, Mar Lehu, Lashim Ya'li. And so I didn't hear about Kelomar, you know what I actually mean? La Sevir Ali. I'm not interested in it. I disagree with it. It's a famous expression in Halakha when they turn to one person, they say to him, didn't you hear about that other person's opinion? He says, I didn't hear about it. In other words, I don't agree with it. So he did hear about it. He's not interested in it. So it's a mahlok between Rav Hasta and Rabbi Yirmiyah. Says the Gemara, Ihache. So now we turn to Rav Hasta and we ask him the initial question of this sugya. The initial question of the sugya is that our Mishnah seems somewhat redundant. On the one hand, the Mishnah says, your brother is invalidated. And then it continues and it says, the husband of your mother who has a son is problematic for you. What's the chidush over here? It appears as if we're talking about a half-brother. A half-brother, of course, is invalidated. We knew that already. Says the Gemara, ihache hainu achiv, if that's so, then it's just like your brother. We know half-brothers. Says the Gemara, indeed, we want it to be absolutely pristinely clear in the Mishnah. Tana achiv min ha'av. The Mishnah goes out of its way to initially tell you half-brother or full-brother from your father and mother. And then it says, and your half-brother, if it's just from your mother, is also invalidated. You may have said, for some funny reason, that we did distinguish. Maybe not kol shekin. Keep in mind, in the context of these kirubim, we might be focused on yerusha. We might be focused on inheritance. And as a result, you'd have more of a reason to say that if it's from the father's side, it's invalidated. We want it to be absolutely clear, says Rav Chasda. And so the Mishnah makes them all invalidated in a very clear and almost redundant fashion.
Stepbrother is further than half-brother.
Correct.
So why if we learn about stepbrother, why isn't half-brother automatic?
Stepbrother might not be problematic. Stepbrother that came in from a different bloodline and there's no absolute relation. In other words, a stepbrother in the following fashion. Your mother is just married to this man.
Brady Bunch,
yeah, that's right. It appears as if that would be kosher.
That would be kosher.
Because
so
again, there's no bloodline.
So if that's
over.
Kosher, then clearly half-brother's kosher. That's
why? Half-brother's worse. Half-brother means you're sharing a parent.
You say kosher to testify. You have
the same invalid mother, to testify.
The same mother with a different father.
Right? So if a stepbrother is kosher, okay, you can't extend that to half-brother. Half-brother, indeed, half-brother's problematic. Half brother means I share the same one parent.
So you can't testify.
Can't testify.
Wait, step brother, so you
can. Assuming step brother, assuming there's no relation whatsoever. In other words, there's not a half brother.
Right.
So that type
Brady
of situation.
Brady Bunch cannot. The greater it can testify.
Correct. All right. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Chasda. So Rav Chasda now continues, now that we got rolling on Rav Chasda's relationship issues or permissibilities, he tells us further, Avi hatan v'avi kala, consuegros, right? The father of the groom and the father of the bride. What's the halacha? Me'idin ze al ze. They're kosher to testify about one another. They're in turn, of course, kosher to testify together and so forth. What's the difference? That's exactly the case. Doesn't matter. Those children that are descended from them, it's distant enough that they're not related one to another.
They can testify on each other.
On each other,
not
together.
About their grandchildren.
Of course not. Of course not. That's not what Ruki's asking. It says the Gemara, velodamu lehadadin. They're not really similar to one another. In other words, in terms of considering them relatives, ela ki achla ledana. Dana means some sort of barrel. And akhla, says Rashi, means the covering to the barrel. In other words, if I look at a barrel, if I look at a container and I look at the cover, so it's true, the cover kind of comes together with the barrel, with the container. But they're not one item in any respect. And as a result, he gives a mashal and says, it's true they've come together in terms of their children marrying one another. It's true they'll have grandchildren they'll share in some way or fashion. Are we really going to consider them blood relatives in any way, shape, or fashion? Certainly not. And as a result, consuegros are kosher to one another, together, and so forth. Says the Gemara, Amar Baba Bahana, Me'id Adam Le'ishto Arusa. You're allowed to testify, the statement is, about your wife, who's not yet your full wife. In other words, you're only arusa. Of course, Masechet Kiddushin, which is one of the major masechtot in Seder Nashim, refers to erusin. Erusin and kiddushin is the identical word. What are kiddushin and erusin? Kiddushin and erusin refers to engagement. Not engagement the way we do it today, but engagement the way we do it under the chuppah. Hare at mekudeshet li. Turn to a woman and say to her, behold, you are sanctified to me, or you're unique to me. B'taba'at zo, maybe you're doing with a ring, or b'chasbahaden, or with money. The Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Kiddushin, the first Mishnah says there are three ways of affecting engagement. Kesef, shtar, and bia, right? Money, which is what we do today. Shtar means a document. On the document it says, hareat mekudeshili, and you hand it to her. That's the second way. And the third way, we don't do it that way any longer. And the third way we also don't do is with relations. That's just for engagement. That's just for initial stages. We do it all together under the chuppah. We go from erusin immediately into nisuin, which means marriage. Now, there are different statuses between engagement and marriage. Why do we put it all together if the Torah separates them? The rabbis put it all together. several thousand years ago, 1,500 years ago, what the rabbis noticed was happening was erusin, kiddushin would take effect. The husband and wife-to-be felt too close to one another, and as a result began to have relations, which is not permitted according to halakha after engagement. So they determined, don't let them actually get engaged until later. Well, we beat the system. We turned it into a non-halachic engagement nonetheless. But I mean, that's been going on for hundreds of years. So the circumstance over here is that you haven't done nisuin. How do you do nisuin? We imagine it begins under the chuppah with the berachot, sheva berachot, but it really is affected, says Harambam, with what's called yehud. Yehud means they're secluded one with the other. When does that take place? Well, many Ashkenazim, even some Sfaradim, will do immediately after the chuppah. They'll go seclude in a room together. Chacham Ovadia Yosef was very bothered about this, says it's not our way, we don't do this, there's no tziniut, it's inappropriate. You're going to go into that room, everybody's going to be talking about it. You don't do it in such a fashion. We try to avoid yehud from the Sephardic end. At my wedding, we did yehud. My wife was very adamant about it. She said, we're going to have Eidim for yehud and so forth. But that's yehud. So how do Sfaradim class, or at the very least today, do it? After the marriage. That's when they actually get married. I mean, it's a little known fact. You're not actually married until you finish the night together in a room. Anyway, so the circumstance over here is the woman and man are only at the first stage. They just did erusin. Can, at that stage, the husband testify about the woman? What's he testifying about? Anything. But let's talk about two types of circumstances. Either that she's owed money or that she owes money. Right? Those are our classic circumstances. Can he testify about either one of them? Of course, if she's owed money, he's a little bit more nogea badavar, right? That money is going to, ultimately speaking, be his. So that's the circumstance over here. Indeed. So says Mars, it says we have many statuses. For example, the Torah in Parashat Kitese says if she now sleeps with someone else, we punish her pretty severely. We give her skila in such a circumstance. So she's almost like a full-fledged eshetish. So are they related enough? And there's also some financial obligations. That's what the Gemara will test out over here. Says the Gemara again, Amar Baba Bar Hana Me'id Adam Le'ishto Arusa. A person may testify about his wife who is an arusa, only engaged. What's that?
It's not ishto arusa.
Ishto arusa.
All right,
cross out the word ishto. You do need to give a get. You absolutely need to give a get. What's that? Absolutely, you need to give a get from erusin.
So
you guys determined that, of course, it's pasul. It's not his pesach halacha. I'm telling you, it's not so simple. We're going to see very soon there are certain relationships, the status that are affected by the erusin, and there are other things that are not. We'll see them in just a minute. Amar avina la amaran ila la afukemina, aval la ayulela la meheman. Ravina qualifies this statement. He says, listen, you're allowed to testify le'afuke. Le'afuke means to take out, like nafkamina, le'hotzi, to take money away from her, to testify against her. In such a circumstance, you're kosher. Because when it comes down to it, we don't assume that in the back of your mind, you're thinking about making that money. You're losing that money. Even when you get married to her, she's not bringing that money in because she's losing it. Aval ayule, to bring money into her possession, to testify that she's owed money, that she wins the case, that your pasul, says Ravina.
You're testifying that she owes money.
Yes.
You're testifying, somebody comes and says she owes me money. Can you participate in that testimony?
Exactly.
Even if you say she doesn't owe you money.
No,
that's benefit.
La'ayula is problematic.
Because you're keeping the money in her pocket.
Correct.
Yeah. So you can only testify against her.
Correct. Okay, you're right. I wasn't precise enough. Jesse says, it's not necessarily that she's owed money, but even if you're testifying that in a case where someone's trying to extract money for her, that she holds on to it, that's la'ayule as well. Says the Gemara, but you should know that distinction, fine line that Ravina just built, velohi. It's not true. It's not true. Your kosher, la shena la afuke, ve la shena la ayule, la meheman. You're not kosher for anything. So we have a third opinion, right? We have the first opinion, which said, ostensibly, you're kosher for everything with your arusa. Ravina qualified it. He said, no, let's distinguish between whether it's she's making money or losing money. Says the Gemara, not so. You're not believed on anything. My da'atech, why'd you think? What was your thought process in saying that the arusa is kosher, or you're kosher for her? You must have been thinking the following. What were you thinking? The Amar Bihya Barameh Mishemede Ula. The statement of Ula. What's the statement of Ula? Ishto Arusa. If a woman is an Arusa, she's engaged. Lo Onen Velo Metamela. Vechen Hi Lo Onenet Velo Metamea Lo. So let's break down those words initially and piece it together as we get there. If a woman is arusa, she's just engaged. All you did was the hareat mekudeshet stage. Lo onen. Onen, of course, is in the stage. Unfortunately, after a family member passes away, you're considered onen before the burial. During time of aninu today, practically speaking, we say, the Mishnah says at the beginning of what, the second perek in Masechet Berachot, we don't do mitzvot during that time period. We don't do positive mitzvot, so we don't pray, we don't say Berachot, we don't study Torah. Of course, the negative violations are still in effect, but we don't do mitzvot. Why so? The most simple interpretation, my mind needs to be on the person and the burial and so forth. Mahloket Rashi and Tosafot, the most simple interpretation goes like that. But once upon a time, aninut had more ramifications. It meant you can't eat kodashim, right? We know that from in the Torah, just recently, about Aharon, that Aharon didn't have the status of an onen after the death of his children. He was to eat kodashim. Kodashim, of course, refers to things that are supposed to be in the mikdash. When you're in the stage of aninut, inappropriate for you to eat them. So now, the woman of this Kohen, we'll talk about him being a Kohen in a second, let's assume he's even a Yisrael, is not allowed to partake in Kodashim in a general circumstance, but she's only an Arusa. Lo onen. You're allowed to eat it, and the way we would say it today, and you're allowed to do Mitzvot. You're not having the regular circumstance of wife passing away. Velo metamela. If you're a Kohen, the Torah will tell us in Parashat Emor, Emor el ha-Kohanim b'nei Aaron, le-nefesh lo yitama be'amav, kim le-shero ha-karo be'lav.
So Kohen is Arusa, can't be
he cannot be metameh. Although in general, the Kohen can only be metameh to the closest of his relatives, as the Torah says over there. She's not considered that yet.
Well, that's
because they're not fully married. So
already...
So she died. Yeah,
she engaged her and she died.
That's right.
He can't even... She's not one of the seven yet.
That's right. That's the circumstance. Now again, so what's going through our minds already? What's going through our minds already is, although Charlie would tell me that she's just like your wife, clearly not just like your wife. Before we get there, and of course, that's why the Gemara says, Maidatech, what were you thinking? You must have been thinking based on this. And of course, you're going to have to distinguish between Tuma and Tahara and these sorts of matters and financial matters. Or Eidut matters. Well, let's see in just a minute. V'chein hi. It says, and so to she. In other words, the engaged woman, who's, let's call her a bat kohen. She's a kohen, she's a dwek, she's, I don't know, a gindi, right? Lo onenet v'lo mitame'a lo. Number one, lo onenet, we understand. She doesn't have the status of onenet. She wouldn't be able to eat the kodashim. But she's allowed to in this circumstance because he was only engaged to her. She shouldn't be doing the mitzvot, but she's allowed to. He's only engaged. But the next words are the problematic words, just parenthetically. And she's not allowed to become tameh to him? Whoever heard of that? I don't know about you, but I'm aware of Kohanim, Bat Kohen's dad. My mother's a Bat Kohen. My grandmother was a Bat Kohen. My grandmother's married to a Kohen. Other grandmother's married. There's no Isur. The Torah says, the Gemara Masechet Kiddushin and Daf Lamed He makes very clear, Emor el ha-Kohanim b'nei Aharon. B'nei Aharon nizharu ve'lo b'not Aharon. If a woman is, I know in our community the women oftentimes won't go to the cemetery, but they're allowed to, according to Halacha, they're not like a Kohen male. So what statement is this? Ve'lo mitame'alo. What do you mean ve'lo mitame'alo? There was never a restriction on the woman as a bat kohen, or someone involved in a kehuna family, to not become involved in contact with tum'ah. Rashi has two interpretations. One interpretation of Rashi is, take out those words. Easy enough. La garsinan, you take out the words, you solved it. Okay. Alternatively, says Rashi, it's a reference to an obligation that she maybe would have had. Not a prohibition, but an obligation. The Kohen, for example, has an obligation to his relatives to be involved in the burial. In general, he needs to abstain. If it's a relative, he's obligated to be involved in the burial. Maybe that, generally speaking, applies to the woman Kohenet as well. maybe she has an obligation in a regular circumstance to her relatives. Over here, says the Gemara, there's no obligation. We never thought she had a prohibition, but there's no obligation. The truth is, in Perek Bet of Hilchot Avil, Harambam and Ra'avad debate this matter. They debate the matter in general. My grandmother, Alea Shalom, did she have an obligation if she had a relative, her husband did die early on, did she have an obligation to be involved in the burial? Says Harambam, certainly not. That's only an obligation on Kohanim. It's on the males. Says Rava, did you read this Gemara? He quotes this Gemara right here. You know, you'd imagine it's come from Sechemoyed Katan or something like that. From over here, that women as well are obligated in dealing with the burial process. Okay, that's what you have in this Gemara specifically. Okay, back to our context. That's parenthetical. Back to our context. Our context is, we're in the middle of trying to figure out, she's Arusa, are you allowed to testify about her? So the initial statement was, certainly. We qualified it, and then we said, no, you're not for anything. What was your thought? Why do you think you could? It must be not related. Why is it not related? After all, in Tuma and Tahara, for Kohen, Onen, even for non-Kohen, it's not related. Continues this Beraita, or this statement. Meta, if she passes away, Eno Yorsha, you don't inherit her, meaning the woman whom you're engaged to. Met who, if he passes away, gova ketubata, she does get her ketubah. The ketubah is already in place. Okay, but the statement ultimately speaking is that we distance husband and wife in the context of erusin, of engagement. It's true ketubah took effect, but that's a specific obligation of the husband to wife. But in terms of... That's right. In terms of... What's that?
He's obligated in She'era Kesutan Honata in the stage of Irusin?
The answer is yes, but it's not enough. It's not a...
To make him closer in terms of...
Correct. But, you know, and not fully. Says the Gemara over here, Hatam b'She'ero tala rahmana akati lav She'erohi hacha mishum ikrube da'atahu v'ha ikarva da'ate legaba. So as the Gemara is a basic distinction between those halachot and this halacha. Those halachot, b'she'ero tala rahmana. She'er means relationship, means wife. What's she'er? She'er means we're actually related to one another. She's my arusa. She related to me. She's not actually related to you. She's not a blood relative. She's not even halachically speaking fully involved. It's true you'll need to give a get. You're bound to one another in a certain respect. It's true you'll need to give a ketubah. You're bound to each other in certain respect. It's true she's somewhat of a quasi eshetish, but she has a different punishment. But when it comes down to it, she's not actually related to you. That's why we remove all those halachot from this circumstance. Our situation, testimony? Bekirub da tala rahmana. Why are you not allowed to testify about another person? Because you are close in terms of your mind, your emotions, your psyche to that person. She's your engaged. If anything, we're more close to the engaged woman than when we're actually married. We're certainly very close with them as a result, says the Gemara. In that circumstance, she would be invalidated. Don't link these cases to one another. They each have their own logic, and they each have their own halachot as a result. Okay, that's what the Gemara's next segment. So we've dealt with several segments over here, and the latest is the situation of an engaged woman. Continues the Gemara, horgo levado. The Mishnah said, horgo. Again, horeg is a stepson. Stepson levado. The Mishnah said, whereas we have the list of many relatives that they and their children and their son-in-laws are all invalidated, when it comes to your stepson, although you're invalidated to him and he to you, it's not in terms of his descendants as well. If he has a child, if he has a son-in-law, you're allowed to testify against them. Tanu Rabbanan. The Beraita now will make things a little bit more complicated. One more time. The Mishnah made clear, stepson, since he's removed, only to him and nothing further. The family tree ends there in terms of relations. Says the Beraita, not so clear. Horgo levado. So the first opinion here in the Beraita is identical to our Mishnah. When it comes to stepson, it's only he that is invalidated and you to him. Rabbi Yose Omer, Giso. I don't know what those words mean. Rabbi Yose says, don't stop there, but... Oh, he doesn't even say that. He says, brother-in-law. What do you mean, brother-in-law?
Sister.
But what does brother-in-law mean?
They have sister.
That's what he means. No. Can't be. Giso means brother-in-law. Doesn't mean half-sister.
No, I know. The brother-in-law who's married to the sister, who's married to...
And you'd be invalidated to him?
No.
I was trying to say. In other words, Byron, what about his children? What about your stepson's children?
All right.
So it appears as if he's talking about an actual brother-in-law, my wife's sister's husband. What about my wife's sister's husband, my brother-in-law? Sounds like this next opinion, Rabbi Yose is saying, that to your brother-in-law as well, you're only invalidated to the brother-in-law, but not to descendants. That's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said explicitly, that Giso hu ubeno v'hatano. Okay, v'tanya idach, we have another beraita. It says it a little bit differently. Giso levado. It starts with the opinion of Rabbi Yose, and it's explicit. Your brother-in-law and only Rabbi Yehuda omer, horgo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, your son. Now, are they disagreeing? Are they adding one onto the other? It's not clear. These beraitot are written very cryptically. That's what the Gemara is going to struggle with in the next few lines. We don't fully understand. Our Mishnah was somewhat clear. The Mishnah said all of the 9 or 10 relatives, they and their son and their son-in-law are invalidated in both directions. Horgo, when it comes to stepson, levado. That much I understood. This beraita says, okay, let's start either with horgo. Go levado, identical to our Mishnah, son and stepson and only stepson. Now we have another opinion. Giso, is Giso in addition to Horgo? That was when Rabbi Yose says Giso, does he mean your brother-in-law as well as your stepson? We stop the relation over there, we don't extend it. Or does he mean in contradistinction? And he disagrees with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said Giso, hu v'hatano, ubeno, and the Mishnah distinguished that from Horgo. Does Rabbi Yose, so the Gemara says, we're not fully clear. Maika amar. What's being stated over here? It's just unclear. Ilema, or perhaps you'll say, it's a compound word. Ilema, if you'll say. Hachekama, perhaps the beraitot means to say the following. Horgo levado, v'huadin legiso. Rabbi Yose is extending it. Says Rabbi Yose, you know, our Mishnah was wonderful, but it's not lenient enough. I'll go a step further. Not only is your stepson the only relation, in other words, not son and son-in-law of your stepson, but your brother-in-law as well. No, your brother-in-law as well. Your brother-in-law as well. His son and his son-in-law, all kosher to you. Ve'atar biyose le'meimar, giso levado, v'huadin le'horgo, excuse me, I'm sorry. So again, hachek amar, horgo levado, v'huadin le'giso, ve'atar biyose le'meimar, giso levado, v'huadin le'horgo, ela matnitin, says the Gemara, if that's so, our Mishnah, de katane giso, hu ubeno v'hatano manne, who is the author of our Mishnah? Again, our Mishnah distinguished. Our Mishnah said that when it comes to your stepson, we end the relation there. It said when it comes to your brother-in-law, we don't end the relationship there. Now, according to our interpretation right now of these beraitot, it's either both, according to the Biyose, or neither, according to the Biyuda. I think I flipped it. It's either both according to the Biyuda or neither according to the Biyose. Ele matnitin de katane gisohu benov hatano mane lo de Biyuda velo de Biyose. So, okay, I have a different interpretation. Again, this is all technicalities. It smooths itself out in just a minute. Right now, we're just trying to figure out what did the two opinions say. Ve el hachek amar. Perhaps instead, this is what the beraitot means to say. Horko levado aval gisohu benov hatano. The first opinion, that of Rabbi Yehuda, is identical to our Mishnah. No, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Again, giso hu ben ova hatano, meaning your brother-in-law is invalidated, even the descendants. Your stepson, it's only him. That's our Mishnah, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. V'atar Rabbi Yose le'meimar giso levado aval horgo hu ben ova hatano. And Rabbi Yose is coming to disagree and to take the opposite opinion. He says, no, the only one where we stop the relations is your brother-in-law. Not your stepson. So that would be okay. Who would the author of our Mishnah be right now? Rabbi Yehuda. Again, let me review it very quickly with you. Our Mishnah says that when it comes to relationships, in general, all these male relatives are related one to the other to the extent that their son and their son-in-law are included in invalidated second, third generation, maybe third generation as we discussed. Except for, said our Mishnah, except for Chorgo, except for your stepson, which means our Mishnah included in the regular relationship, your brother-in-law. This beraita comes along and presents the opinions of Rabbi Yose and Rabbi Yehuda. Each of them is talking about either the stepson or the brother-in-law. That's not fully clear exactly what they're saying. Well, there's several options. Either Rabbi Yehuda is saying both the brother-in-law and the stepson are a full relationship against our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yose is saying about both of them, zero relationship beyond first generation. Says the Gemara, if that's so, neither one of them plugs into our Mishnah, and we want to plug one of those opinions into our Mishnah. So perhaps instead they're disagreeing in the following fashion, and we'll pause it here for today. Perhaps instead they're saying the following. Rabbi Yehuda is identical to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, generally speaking, relationships extend beyond first generation, to second, maybe even to third generation. Who's that relevant to? Everyone except for stepson. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Everyone except for Horgo. Rabbi Yosef says, I disagree. I think stepson is related enough that will extend it further to a generation afterwards. And the brother-in-law is different for one reason or another. The brother-in-law, he and his son-in-law will be excluded. It's only the brother-in-law who has the relation. If that's the case, the author of our Mishnah again is Rabbi Yehuda. And we're okay with that. What's that? He doesn't use those words in the Beraita. And keep in mind, again, that's why everything's cryptic. That's why we don't know. But the problem will be more than just that wording. The problem will be, we had that statement of Rabbi Chiya yesterday or 2 days ago. If you recall, he says our Mishnah is talking about eight relationships. And it said eight relationships, which really equals, remember the line, 24. Because each one of them have the generation that comes after them, the son and son-in-law. Now, if we'll go back to the Mishnah and we'll count up the relationships, there'll be more. We had that question yesterday, but again, we're going to go back to that question. If you're only excluding, we'll go back. If you're only excluding stepson, and not brother-in-law, so then you'll be left with nine. It's something I alluded to yesterday. So it means that we need an opinion to say that both are out. Both Horgo and Giso stop at that generation. I will make it a little clearer next week. Baruch Adonai de'olam. Amen v'amen.